As we forego the 8 o'clock news break here this morning, I mean, there's no one better than someone who is early for a meeting, being 5 minutes early, because if you're not 5 minutes early, you're late, of course, as the famous Tom Coughlin once said of my New York Super Bowl-winning champion Giants from many moons ago. And oftentimes when I'm on the road with the Coastal baseball team, you have little fanfare while you're hanging out in a conference room at a random hotel in a random city across the country. But today, we've got a live studio audience because we have a very special guest who has decided to spend a few minutes with us to talk a little baseball and freedom. I mean, and there's nothing better than baseball and freedom on a beautiful sunny morning here in the state of Florida. And we're the capital city of Tallahassee, Florida. And it's my honor to welcome in Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who is seated with me poolside, nonetheless, with a lot of our coastal staff and coaches and administrators here. And Governor, it's great to have you in. Awesome time to talk a little baseball and a little freedom in the free state of Florida, Mr. Governor.
Yeah, look, this is a good time of year. You know, we're hosting two regionals in the state of Florida. We've got one in Gainesville and one in Tallahassee. This one's exciting, obviously, because Coastal Carolina's got a great program. And Florida State has had to overcome some injuries, and so we'll see what happens. We followed this team very closely during my tenure as governor. We actually went to the College World Series with them in 2024. They were beating Tennessee by three runs in the bottom of the ninth, and Tennessee came back and won, ended up winning the championship. Tennessee was amazing, but that FSU team in 24 was loaded. I mean, James Tibbs went in the first round. Cameron Smith went in the first round. Jamie Arnold the next year went in the first round. They had other players that went in the top three or four rounds. I mean, it was a loaded team, and I really believe if they had beaten Tennessee that game, I think they probably would have won it. And as you and I were talking about, they have a great storied history. They've gone to Omaha a lot, but have never actually brought it in. But I will give a prediction. I don't know that it's this year, but Link Jarrett is one of the best coaches in this game, and he will get it done at some point.
The first ever regional that Coastal Carolina qualified for was in 1991, and it was in Tallahassee, and Link Jarrett had two hits and a 6-0 win over Coastal Carolina to knock us out of the bracket. And at that time, there were six teams per regional in eight different host cities, and now it's expanded, of course, to a field of 64. I want to talk more baseball with you for a moment, but given the opportunity, I have to flash back to 6 years ago. I was ready to pick up the family and moved down to the state of Florida because we were in the Carolinas. I mean, you're my freaking hero, frankly, based on the leadership qualities that you showed despite the pushback that you were receiving, even from the swamp in Washington, D.C. I hate to compare it to a 9/11 type of event, but making leadership decisions during that time when the nation was yearning for somebody to speak out against what the controllers had in mind for us was something that my family will never forget. This is why a lot of people have woken up early to come out to express their support for what you did from that standpoint 6 years ago. And ever since then, I've been bringing my family for an annual summer vacation to spend some of our hard-earned money with your great businesses that you have in Florida.
Well, you know, COVID was the thing that touched every single person in terms of the reaction to COVID that was in Washington and also in the states. And so I was in a situation where I was looking at what was being done. I'm like, I don't think this makes sense. I don't think it's justified. And who am I to say you can't earn a living or your kids are just going to sit at home for a year and not go to school? So we took a lot of strong stands kind of early in that process, and they were very unpopular with the media and the elites, 100%. And even people that agreed with me, you just didn't speak out then. It was like taboo. And so people were telling me, oh, you're committing political suicide, all this stuff. And look, maybe I was, but I was at the time, I'm like, I got elected to lead, not follow. And if I have to sacrifice my office, lose re-election because I'm saving people's jobs, businesses, and their kids' education, then that's the price of leadership, and that's what you got to do. And I think when we were doing all that, I would always take the flack, and then kind of other states could follow, and they didn't have to worry about the flack as much, which is fine. So we're happy to do it. But the state, you know, when I became governor, our economy had it was about $1 trillion GDP. Now it's $1.85 trillion in 7 years. You know, to have a 70-80% increase is pretty unprecedented. And we've had more income move into Florida since I've been governor than has ever moved into any state in American history over some period of time, even adjusted for inflation. And that would not have, there's other reasons why, but that would not have happened had we not challenged Fauci and went a different way.
I remember vividly taking my daughter, we had to go to a UPS store to send some packages out, and you had the little pods where you had to stand 6 feet away. You know, you could have the mask on when you were walking or at the entrance to a restaurant, but then when you sat down, you could take the mask off. and my daughter would ask me, you know, Dad, why do we have to do this? And I just looked at her and said, because we're fools. And pretty much, that's the way we're bringing up our kid. You know, always question, particularly, you know, the leadership that are telling us to live lives the way they want us to. And the fact that I lost about half of my income that year. And, you know, in the gig economy where we've got a lot of people doing different works, different jobs, independent contracting, you know, it was difficult to go and navigate the process to get unemployment and do those sorts of things to take advantage of all the money that was getting printed out by the federal government. But that is something that no doubt will stick with me forever. And in fact, we're coming down after we clinch a spot in the College World Series. We'll be back down to Rosemary Beach for a family vacation. So I have to say, if Coastal does match up with Florida State, we could match up once, we could match up twice, it could be three times. We got to have a friendly wager here.
I just think looking what Coastal's done, I mean, I'm obviously rooting for Florida State, but I think Coastal's probably a slight favorite. Florida State, you know, we lost our best hitter, Miles Bailey. The guy absolutely rakes, and he hurt his ankle. And so, you know, it just is what it is. But I think it's going to be a good matchup. I think clearly those are the two teams. One of those two teams is going to advance to the Super Regional, and so we'll see. I'm happy to bet, like, okay, so you guys can send me – what do I like in South Carolina? Something low country. I can send you guys like key lime pie and stone crabs or something like that. So figure it out and we'll do it.
I was hoping a key lime pie on my anniversary at the at my condo in Rosemary Beach just for my wife.
All right.
You think you could do
that? We'll do it.
And I'll hook you up on something on the back end from South Carolina.
I'll tell you what. I mean, South Carolina's got some good food, man. I mean, you go to these places, they've got some good stuff. There's no doubt.
All right. Well, with that being said, you played college baseball up at Yale, and one of our fancier and friends and colleagues of mine from that area. So your favorite New Haven-style pizza, Sally's, Modern, or Pepe's?
So it was for 20 years, it was always Pepe's because it was the best I'd ever had, and I never tried any of the other ones. And so I was like, why would I need to try anything? If I have the best, like, how can you do better? But I will tell you, I've gone up since then and speak on campus, and there's people that say Sally's is better. And sitting in Sally's and eating it, I mean, like, I started to think to myself, I don't know that anyone can beat this. And so, you know, you can't go wrong. I'm a big believer that New Haven has the best pizza in the country. I know a lot of people from New York don't like it, but, you know, with Dave Portnoy doing his pizza stuff, it's brought huge recognition to New Haven. I mean, you go there, it's a long line no matter what, all hours of the day. So I highly recommend it. But there's also places that are 100 years old that are maybe, you know, off the beaten path a little bit that the locals will swear by. So they do a really good job with that, and I just can't recommend it. It's interesting. We have Pepe's is in Delray Beach.
Yeah.
And Sally's is opening up in Boca Raton. And so I think it's hard to recreate the magic from the original. You just kind of lose something when you branch out. But I still think it'll be really good.
They always say that it's the water that they use to make the dough and the crust that helps with the taste and the crispiness. So we'll see if they can repeat that. Do have some family in Delray Beach. So actually flying into Tampa, driving to Rosemary, and then to the East Coast before we head home. We've got 10 days coming up in July. Really looking forward to it. All right, let's talk about your special session that you called back on Wednesday. Homestead property tax. I mean, you want it for all Floridians who have been here for at least a couple of years. And you're getting some pushback from local government because local government has wet their beak, and they like wetting their beak with our money. And they say, well, if the governor is going to reduce these taxes, we're just going to have to raise fees on you all one way or the other.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, ultimately, the voters can vote those people out for that. I mean, this is just the reality. In 2019, we get no money from property tax for the state. So it's all local. That's why we have to do a ballot initiative. If it was coming to us, we'd have the legislature do it. So they're going to have to put this on the ballot. So in 2019, local governments in Florida took in $32 billion. Today it's $60 billion. Now, we've had population growth and inflation, but it doesn't get you anywhere close to $60 billion. Right. Contrast that to the state of Florida. When I finished the budget this year with my vetoes, we will have four straight years of spending reductions. So our budget is lower today in real in nominal terms than it was in 2022. And yet we're doing all these major things. So what we're saying is, you know, for people that are Florida residents now that have a homestead property, you should actually own that, right? And at some point, if they're taxing you the whole time, and then what happens is younger people, because our market's gone up, they have a high tax basis when they buy. They're getting killed with these taxes. So this is going to be major. But here's the thing.
it takes them back to what they were spending a couple years ago. It isn't like people say it's going to cripple services. Were services crippled in 2019 when we had $32 billion? No. So if you're at $52 billion, you can't do it with almost twice as much. Of course you can. But even more so than that, we have a big surplus. So what we're going to do, we're going to create a fund in the state, and we will issue grants to these local governments. Because, you know, I don't want them to raise taxes. I think if they do, they'll get voted out. Mm-hmm. But I don't even want to have that. Let's do it. They're going to have to make do with a little bit less, for sure. But it can be done. And you know why I can say that and I have credibility? Because that's what we've done at the state level.
Yeah, it's just amazing to me. How do we repeat and print out, you know, 49 Ron DeSantis's, and we could make you know, the governor of every state in America?
Well, it's funny because, you know, I'll be out. Sometimes I'll be in California. I spoke in New York the other day. And they'll be like, you need to come here and run for governor. And I'm like, I couldn't get elected in New York. I could get elected in South Carolina.
Oh, there's no question. And we've got a governor's race going on right now, so that'll be interesting to watch because we tried to go through the redistricting battle, but there were some state senators who decided that it was too late in the primary game to do that. So that's caught.
Well, it's interesting because we did the redistricting here, so I called the session. We did the map. And we needed to do it because we had a racial gerrymander that was unconstitutional and other reasons. And so we did it, and everyone, this is illegal. You can't do that. You can't do that. So these guys file suit like they always do. Judge rules in favor of us. And so that's, you know, the media will be like, oh, lawsuit filed. And then when we win, you don't hear that we won, right? It's like very fine print. Or if a trial judge rules against us and we win on appeal, they kind of forget about that we actually win the cases. And so, our map has been approved by the courts at this point. And so we're live on that. And I think, you know, we did the right thing.
Well, all we need is a colonial-style band, because when we're talking baseball, key lime pie, we're doing a little government politics. I mean, isn't this what America is all about, Governor?
America 250, baby. I mean, it's a great year. This is a really special time, I think, for people to think about. We have a unique founding in this country, and we're inheritors of a really great legacy. We certainly, around the country, are not always living up to it. I think, you know, at a macro level in Florida, you know, we're carrying the torch of the founders' vision from 1776 in terms of the sacred fire of liberty. I think we're showing self-government can work, give people more opportunity, put more money in their pocket, keep them safe, do the things that you want government to do, and then stay out of the way on the other things and everything. I can say this. Everything I promised people I would do, I've done 100% and then some. And isn't it better to, you know, they overpromise and underdeliver? I actually promise big, but we still overdelivered. And that's, I think, what people want. And when you do that, people trust you and they're going to get behind you. And that's why I think the property tax thing, there's a lot of people that are very excited about it.
All right, as we wrap it up, I know you got to go. Just to circle back to baseball real quick. All right, outfielder in college, and what interest you in the game as a young kid? Was it your pop? You know, how did that all play out?
Part of it was that it was just something that I did really from the time I could walk. I was out there playing, you know, t-ball, all this other stuff, and I was always able to hit a ball, and that's a skill that, you know, is you could be a great athlete, not be able to hit, right? I mean, so I was able to do that, and then I ended up in Dunedin, Florida, where the Blue Jays have spring training, which was an amazing place if you're a youth baseball player, because we went to the Little League World Series, my Dunedin National. We were only half the city, a small city, and we went in 91. And then our facilities for Dunedin High School, since it was owned by the Blue Jay stuff, was owned by the city. My home practice and games in high school was the Toronto Blue Jays Spring Training Stadium. So I played 4 years in college all over the country and never played on a field better than my high school home field.
Well, are we going to get a ballpark in Tampa anytime soon?
It's close. I mean, I think that, you know, our role has not really been in how that's going to be financed, but right across from Raymond James, you have a Hillsborough College campus. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of land there. That campus needs a rejuvenation. It would be a boon for them if you did it. That area needs some love. Really, the only thing that could give it love is this stadium and mixed-use concept like the Atlanta Battery. So I think it would be really successful, but ultimately it's going to be, you know, the negotiation between the Rays and the locals, and so we'll see what happens.
The Battery, a great spot to go watch a ball game up in Atlanta. Hey, Governor DeSantis, thank you for spending a little time with us here on the Hot Talk Morning Show back in Myrtle Beach. You know, when you start campaigning in 2028, make sure you stop by the studios on the grandstand.
You know, I haven't played golf in Myrtle Beach in a long time. They've got some good courses up there. I got to go out and bring the sticks.
Well, maybe a Florida State knocks off Coastal, we get you up for some golf along with some low country boil. How about
that? All right, we'll do it.
All right, Governor DeSantis, thanks again. All right, it's the Hot Talk Morning Show.